And called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Conjurman Ali and Madam Nadia. Conjurman Ali?
Thank you, Papa Newt, for that lovely introduction. As you can all hear by the sound of my voice, I am not Miss Cat. Miss Cat is away this week and will be returning next week, so we wish her to have a fun weekend and look forward to her return. In the meantime, we are joined by a fan favorite, a special guest co-host, Madam Nadia, who I adore, and I'm looking forward to co-hosting with. But before we check in with Madam Nadia, some news from my end, I guess, or some checking in to see how things are going. Summer is starting off quite well. Summer is always a very busy time for us to root work. For me, lots of clients who are finishing school, who are starting vacations, who are families getting together, and needing root work. A lot of people who are interested in love work in particular. So this past June, especially the past few weeks, I would say a lot of people calling in, emailing and contacting about love work. There has been quite a bit of request for new love, which is always really fun to do. I enjoy doing love work, and I enjoy doing reconciliation work, but I think new love is always enjoyable more than anything else, because you get to work with someone finding happiness. And doing geomantic readings and card readings for love situations. So clearly love is in the air, and summer is starting off quite frisky, and that's always a good thing. That's news on my end. Other than that, I've been keeping busy, as I usually do. I was just talking on the phone with Madam Johnny right before the show, and I said, oh, I'm having a quiet day. She laughed. She said, you're probably doing a dozen different things at once, which is quite true. We tourists do like to keep busy. So let's check in with the wonderful Madam Nadia before we bring on our guest, Debbie Spring. Welcome, Madam Nadia. Always great to have you on the show. You're definitely a fan favorite and a favorite of mine. What have you been up to in your neck of the woods?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the warm welcome, Conjurman Ali. It's always a pleasure. And as everyone can hear, I am not Conjurman Ali nor Cat. So, just making sure you guys understand that, yeah, I'm not trying. It's not like Cat working on accents over here. It's just me. But, it's been an interesting, I don't know, I think a month maybe since I was on the show last time. June just disappeared. And it's my birthday month, so June is one of my favorite months of the year. So I'm enjoying my Gemini self, and now we're in Cancer. So I enjoyed my Gemini self, I should say. And I had very interesting months of clients and readings as well. And a lot of it was quite difficult situations, quite complex situations, but I also had a lot of things of like somebody gets a reading and they say, Madam Nadia, you read for me 3 months ago and you were on point, like all of this, you know, charges that I had with the police and with the court, everything is great, just like you said, mm-hmm. and so forth. So it's always great to hear, you know, even the most confident reader, it's always nice to hear when somebody, you know, when your clients are coming back and they're saying, hey, you were on point. Thank you for letting me know. Thank you for getting me prepared. Thank you for giving me that advice. So that is something that I've been getting a lot as a feedback from my clients.
Oh,
yeah,
always,
and I'm really excited.
Good. Yeah, it's always good to have feedback from clients. Having them show up after a couple months, or even a few years, I've had cases where people come back after like 2 years. Like, by the way, I had this reading this many years ago, and you know, oh, it was good. That, because sometimes you do the reading and you never hear from the client again, so you don't know what happened.
Yeah, you don't know, right? Actually,
right, yeah, so
yesterday I had an amazing experience because I have a client that I started reading for her when she lived in Korea. Her husband was stationed in Korea. So I started reading for her there. Then she moved back here, and I read for her in Texas. And now she moved to Chicago. So yesterday she brought her little girl. Her girl is about my daughter's age. We had lunch. I read her cards, and then we hung out at the pool. So that was another awesome sort of when you get to know your clients really, really well, and they become your friends.
Yes, it's very cool. Well, thank you for that. Let's bring in our guest, Debbie Spring. Welcome to you, Debbie Spring. This is the first time we've actually had you on the radio show, so let me give a brief introduction
sure.
to you, and then we're gonna have a moment to chat before we dive into our discussion, which
Sounds
is
great.
A really cool panel. So for those of you who don't know Debbie Spring, she is a member of AIR, someone who I actually know from the forum days, Lucky Mojo Forum. She was a co-moderator there and quite a regular poster, and we got to know each other online there. But this is the first time we've actually spoken, I believe. So this is exciting for me, getting to hear someone that I've known for quite some time now. Debbie Spring is well known for her root work. She runs a very prominent root work blog as well. I used to enjoy quite a bit going to your blog. I haven't been around to the blogs in a long time. Somewhat MIA from the world of the internet, from just being so freaking busy all the time. But I thoroughly enjoyed her blog. So if you have not checked out her blog, we're going to post a link on the chat room, and you should absolutely check it out. She gives recipes there, talks about her experience as a professional root worker, and much more than that. She's also very well known for the topic that we're going to be discussing today, and that is working with Hindu deities in her root work, which some may assume is a kind of a new thing or somewhat new neo-pagan or new age, and it's not. Actually, there is quite a history there that we'll talk during our panel. So welcome to you, Debbie Spring. So glad to have you on the show. Hopefully this is a memorable enough experience that you'll want to repeat it by the end.
I hope so, too. I'm sure it will be. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's great to finally meet, so to speak, on a different platform.
I know, it is very, very different, but very welcome. And thank you very much for that warm introduction. That was very surreal to hear such a wonderful practitioner as you give such glowing, glowing introduction.
So let's dive right into our panel. You presented a very interesting topic, and I really want to do it justice by giving it the time to discuss.
Uh-huh.
The topic of Hindu deities and hoodoo and working with them. Now, some people may have this incorrect assumption that this is completely an internet thing. And Kat and I have been quite, it's a common thing on the radio show, or a common theme, I should say, that we do point out the stuff that has kind of been invented by the internet, or the influence of, we should say, the kind of global internet community on Hoodoo, for
right.
example, we discussed. The preponderance of candle magic, right? Candle magic has always
mm-hmm.
been part of Hoodoo and has always
mm-hmm.
been a very important part of Hoodoo. But the use of candles almost over everything else is something that really results from the fact that Hoodoo went online. And for a lot of people,
right.
candle magic is really compelling. And for people who are coming, especially outside of the tradition. But what a lot of people don't know, that's not the case when it comes to the Hindu deities, that there's actually quite a long history there. That history is rooted mostly in urban centers. Hoodoo goes to the urban area. So you don't see a lot of it in rural down south.
Mm-hmm.
Conjure work, for example, I was trained in a Virginian tradition, and you don't see a lot of people invoking Hindu deities in any way, shape, or form. You don't even see saints that often in Virginian Hoodoo, which tends to be quite deeply rooted in Pentecostal holiness, Southern Baptist. But when you go to urban centers like New York, L.A., Oakland in particular, you will see that Hindu deities show up on Hoodoo altars, and they are invoked. You find them, this cat has catalogs from the early 1900s, but pretty early 1920s, right, where they are offering statues and oils and candles and incense for Ganesh. So that shows
mm-hmm.
that there is a history there, that this isn't a new thing. So setting up the stage in that regard, setting up the history and the context, I want to turn this over to you, Debbie Spring, and maybe you can tell us a little bit of why you work with the Hindu deities, how you got involved with them, and how you incorporate them in your Hoodoo practice.
Absolutely. Thank you for laying out the historical background on that, because I really wanted to hear that laid out more myself. I'm a little familiar with it, but you guys are the real academic historians, so I'm really glad that you did that. My background, I have a religious studies degree, and that's when I first encountered Hinduism. I decided to take classes in pretty much anything that I had been told to be scared of in my Pentecostal upbringing, and one of the first things that I did was take a class in Hinduism, because I had always thought the iconography was absolutely gorgeous,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to know more about it. And sort of the rest has been history. And that was, you know, I don't want to age myself, but that was almost 20 years ago. it's been a while. But one of the first things I want to sort of be clear about is Hinduism as a term is almost a misnomer in and of itself,
yes.
because it's an umbrella term that's so ridiculously huge. You know, it's not like sort of like you hear Christianity, and even though there's a lot of different denominations within Christianity, you know, you kind of know that if you're Christian, they're going to be following the Bible and they're going to believe in God
mm-hmm.
and Jesus. Whereas in Hinduism, you know, all bets are off as to what exactly someone is practicing if they are
mm-hmm.
a Hindu. Because within that tradition, you find everything. You know, there's polytheism, there's monotheism, there's pantheism, there's agnosticism, there's atheism. So it's almost more accurate to say the Indian religious traditions, or
mm-hmm.
to pluralize a little bit and say Hinduisms, which is sort of what I've heard some academics sort of do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just wanted to put that out there because, you know, when I say, like, you know, I'm working with the Hindus, or I've studied Hinduism, I've been initiated as a Hindu, which I have in a specific lineage, you know, I can only speak for what I encountered, and
mm-hmm.
I definitely cannot speak for an entire faith or what all is going on in that. So, you know, that's one thing. If someone says they're talking to you about Hinduism, just, you know, finding out what perspective and what school of thought coming from in Hinduism will go a long way to kind of letting you know what's going on. But anyway, so I'm speaking from a more sort of progressive and universal perspective within Hinduism. There are teachers that teach a similar worldview, like the Devi Mandir in Napa, California is one, and there's lots of others. To get down to it, the way I practice is based in having a real firm understanding and respect of sort of like the religious cultural milieu of that the Indian deities are coming out of, and then taking that and in a way that I've been guided with my relationship with the deities, which is very important, blending that with the conjure, which of course I have the other background in. And, you know, respecting the sort of spiritual protocol that is present in Hinduism, because it may not seem like a tradition like one of the ATRs that has a lot of protocols, but there are certainly some that you'd want to respect. And then sort of that and working to build a connection with the deities is sort of going to be your first step to combining them with the conjure. So when I do talk about respecting protocol, kind of just one of the big ones is, you know, always acknowledging Ganesha before you start. Because in the Hindu tradition, you know, even if it's just a very short mantra or prayer said at the beginning, he'll always be acknowledged at the beginning as almost a sort of gatekeeper spirit, like people might be more familiar with in the ATRs. So he's acknowledged first. And so then the next step I suggest to people is, you know, building that connection with the deities, and they are happy to help you with your day-to-day problems like, you know, money and career. But they want all this sort of taken care of so that you can then work towards your own spiritual fulfillment, and living a better life. So, you know, there is this care there, and there needs to be a mutual respect. So that you can be taken seriously as a petitioner, and, you know, they're going to feel comfortable just showering you with blessings, which they absolutely will if you just take the time. So one of the best ways to do that is start by, if there's a deity that you want to work with, like let's say you want to work with Ganesh because you have some roads you want opened and, you know, he is an obstacle remover and that seems like a perfect pairing, which it would be, you know, setting up an altar, just, you know, you can print out an image, you can buy an image, you can find a statue, whatever works, it doesn't matter, you know, set a space aside for that. And every day spend a little time, you know, it's the same as developing a relationship with the saints, or, you know, or anything like that. Spending a little time every day, just appreciating and inviting that presence into your life. And a really easy way to do that shows respect for the culture that they're coming out of is to perform a really simple daily puja, which is just an act of ritual worship. And this can be one of the first stumbling blocks for people that are trying to work with them, because they might get online and start Googling pujas, and really quickly they're going to feel overwhelmed, because you're going to find things that are like, you have to have, you know, 27 offerings and everything's in Sanskrit, and it can seem really scary. It can be very overwhelming, but honestly, it doesn't have to be that complicated. If you want to do a really great puja, the best thing you can do is just offer one of each of the five elements, earth, air, fire, water, and spirit. On as a conjure worker, you probably have all of this on hand already. Air, incense, you know, fire, In Hinduism, it would be an oil lamp, but you can use a candle. That's fine. Water is offered as water. Food offering for earth is also important, because then that's going to become prasad, or a blessing that you eat and consume as well as with the water. And then for the spirit, it would just be your own prayers of, you know, gratitude and supplication as the spirit offering. And so it doesn't take very long every day to sit down and just offer those things. And take a few minutes to sit with the deity. And very quickly, you know, you probably will feel a presence there. And one of the easiest and best ways, and it kind of kills two birds with one stone, is chanting mantra is a great way to have that spirit offering, as well as, because mantras are such powerful spiritual formulas of magic and transformation in and of themselves. Just chanting it is actually going to start bringing you in alignment to manifest whatever your spiritual goal is. But it's also going to be there as that spiritual offering for the deity. So just a few minutes a day doing that, and with you chanting the mantra every day, you might see your circumstances changing just by doing that alone before going into any sort of conjure work.
Now, let's pause right here.
Go ahead.
I want to ask a couple clarifying questions before we go further.
Absolutely.
For people who are new to this and people in the chat room, I will act as your voice. So you mentioned one deity in particular, Ganesha. Can you talk a little bit about Ganesha, who is he? You said you approach him first. People may have heard of his name before, but maybe not be familiar with this particular mm-hmm. deity. So if you could speak a little bit about Ganesha, and then I'll ask a
absolutely,
follow-up.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So Ganesha, I'm sure everyone, if you don't know his name, they've seen his image. He's the mm-hmm. elephant-headed god with that gorgeous, joyful pot belly. Most people, if you say the elephant-headed Hindu god, they'll know who you're talking about. He is Lord of Obstacles, which means he can remove them as well as put them in place. Conjurers, keep that in mind as a little hint. He also has a lot of other jobs. All these deities, he's sort of one main thing, but they love other things as well. He's Lord of Karma. All sorts of things that we don't necessarily have to get into. But yeah, in Conjurer, you'll see him approached most often for like road opening work and removing obstacles. And Ganesh is a really great figure to be sort of like an introductory one for someone because he is that gatekeeper for the Hindu gods and the Hindu pantheon. So once in his good graces, so much easier to make a connection with any. And he's a very welcoming and easy to work with spirit. You don't have to worry too much about angering him or doing something wrong as long as you're approaching him, you know, with humility and an earnest nature. He's great. And he loves candy and sweets. So, you know, hand him some of that and, you know, you'll pretty quickly get into his good graces.
Thank you for that. Yes, it's a good introduction to him. You mentioned giving five elements and offerings, and one of them being food. Now, mm-hmm. this is a question that a lot of people have because food offerings are given in a variety of different traditions. What type of should be given? How should the food be handled? And is it all right to eat the food, or do you discard mm-hmm. the food? What do you do with it?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. First of all, it would be very rare for alcohol or meat to be offered to a Hindu deity. There are exceptions, but generally speaking, you do not offer alcohol, which I know is something that's very commonly offered to spirits within the conjure tradition, so that is just one thing to be mindful of. Generally speaking, a really safe offering is fruits. Mm-hmm. Fruits is always an easy one that's always well accepted. Rice, too, if you want to cook up some rice, that can be done as well. But if you stick to just sort of fruits because it's easy to get, you would wash it. You would wash, you know, your hands, you know, wash your face, sort of just make sure that you feel clean and ready for ritual, you know, before you offer it before. And by offering, there doesn't have to be like a big special thing to it. You know, it can be just be putting that plate in front of the image that you have and just, you know, mm-hmm. saying a little prayer of like, you know, I'm offering this food for you. And in the Hindu tradition, once food and water have been offered to the deity, they're allowed to sit for a little while. So it doesn't have to be a long period of time, but, you know, you can give it a good 10 minutes and that gives you time to do other things. That allows the deity to take from that the energy that they want. And at that point in time, the act of them taking the energy that they want and need, part of their energy is then transferred into that water and that fruit. And then it becomes prasad, which is roughly translated mm-hmm. as grace. And so after you're done with your rituals, you would then consume that or give it to loved ones to be consumed if for whatever reason it's an item of food that you don't particularly like. But it's mm-hmm. definitely something that is consumed, and it's almost kind of like a communion mm-hmm. where you are taking in the blessings and energy that has been left from the god for you. So by taking that in, part of their energy is becoming part of you. So it's a way to grow closer in your relationship to the deity. So you'd always want to make good use of that and not just throw it away or leave it to sort of, you know, dehydrate or whatever on the altar. Mm-hmm. You definitely want to make use of that.
Is there a particular type of fruit that should be offered to Ganesha, or is all fruit welcome?
All fruit is fine. Ganesha really likes sweet things. So, you know, the sweeter the fruit, the better. Obviously, like in India, a mango would be a very common offering. It's very sweet, very juicy, very succulent. So mangoes are good. They're not always in season. They're not always easy to get necessarily over here, but that's a good one. You can also give him cookies. His favorite sweet is actually an Indian one called a laddu, and they're pretty easy to make. You can Google recipes for it. But honestly, I've just given him cookies and candy bars and that sort of thing because he does like sweets. So anything like that will work.
Okay. One more question, then we're going to ask Madam Nadi because she also does a book here.
Yes.
You mentioned the mantra. So what is a mantra? How does someone find a mantra? What mantra should be used?
That's a giant topic, and I will try to make it as brief. That could be another show. I'll try to make it as brief as possible. A mantra is sort of like a sonic formula that invokes a very specific energy into a place and into yourself in the recitation of it. So these are very powerful magical formulas in and of themselves. And I don't think we have the time here for me to go into the huge history and background of their use. But suffice it to say, a long time ago in ancient times, there were some very spiritual guys who meditated very, very deeply. And they heard these noise, they received these sounds and intuited that they were connected to certain deities, to certain notions. So, for instance, one of the mantras associated with Ganesh is GAM, G-A-M. It's considered his seed syllable. And it is the Bija mantra, the seed mantra of removing obstacles. So that is part of one of the most common mantras for Ganesh, which is Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. And that mantra invokes the abstract quality of obstacle removal, as well as the presence of Ganesh himself, asking him to please remove obstacles in the way. And a way you can find different mantras, there's two books when you're just getting started out that are really excellent resources. Healing Mantras is one, and Shakti Mantras is another one. And those are both by Thomas Ashley Ferrand, who is sadly now deceased. But they're really great books for those just getting started out. They explain all about how mantras work, why they work, easy ways to do them, and then he lists lots of easy mantras in there and the different things you can use them for to transform your life. So for like prosperity, you would have a mantra for Lakshmi, for example. And those are really good resources for finding a mantra. And YouTube is really good, too. If you find a mantra, and of course they're in Sanskrit, if you don't know how they are pronounced, get on YouTube, put it in the search bar, and you'll come up with a whole bunch of songs and chanting of that mantra, and so you can hear how it's pronounced.
Wonderful. Thank you for that, Debbie.
No problem.
I think that answers the question for a lot of people who are kind of curious about the details of what you were discussing. I want to ask you, Madam Nadia, you also do some work here, and I'd really like to hear how it is you incorporate deities or how you got involved and how you incorporate this work with your hoodoo.
I am a big fan of the Hindu tradition. This is my first real deepening into spirituality happened through meeting, and after that studying for about 5 years and being initiated to the goddess Kali and the Shakta Tantra tradition, as well as a result of that traveling to India and doing a pilgrimage there, and I'll see if I can find it. I also made a movie. If I can find it really quickly and post it. But my path is a little bit different than the traditional Hinduism, because traditional Hinduism is usually very, very pristine, very clean. We see a lot of vegetarianism, for instance, in that path, the left path or Shakta. Left-hand path is a very different approach, is where we deepen into our fears, or we deepen into our shadows, we deepen into the things and the offerings that potentially can make us, you know, crazy, like, for instance, cannabis or wine or, you know, meditating on things like death and corpses. And you actually have Shaivites and Tantrikas that go into cemeteries, into cremation grounds, and try to find a corpse to sit on and meditate on, because you connect to the deity through that kind of reality. And the thing is that even though all of my spiritual life I was trying to find, you know, the beautiful and nice goddesses like Venus and stuff like that, no matter where I go and what I do, I always end up in the shmashan, in the cemetery, right? And you know that very well, countryman Ali, because you're my Tata Kimbanda. So for me, this is a very, very big lesson and work personally. And it's not for everybody, though. I don't recommend it. But in India, in certain places like Kolkata, in places of Kali and stuff like that, the offerings include animals, and there's animal sacrifice, and there's a lot of people that's not very happy with that. And another thing I wanted to say about prasad, which is the offering, the food offerings and the blessings on that, it's a beautiful thing, because in India there's a lot of beggars, a lot of mendicants, a lot of people that don't have anything. And so they would come in the morning, let's say, you know, before dawn, you have a puja in the temple, an offering, and then in the end, the priest, the pujari, gives them the offerings, and so they can eat that offering, something that, you know, we don't really do in African diasporic religions. We would not eat the offerings that we gave our Orisha or our Eshu or whatever. In my, because this was my very, very first introduction to spirit, when I came into Hoodoo and I started studying under Miss Cat, and I did the course and everything, it was very natural for me to combine the two. The first reason it was so natural is because Hoodoo is not a religion. Hoodoo is a folk practice. So by default, we have a certain gap, we have a certain opening that we can layer other religion on top of it if this is something that is personal to us. Of course, you know, the minute I do, you know, a road opening Ganesha candle, this is not as traditional Hoodoo anymore, but nonetheless, it's working really, really well. And so what I started doing is that I started connecting deities and my personal experience with these deities to ideas of candle work, to ideas of meditation, to ideas of magic. Of course, there is a lot of work with fire, homas, a very transformative thing in the Hindu tradition that can very easily be used to sort of connect those different things, those different elements, you know, when it's coming from Hoodoo, if you come to that tradition and so forth. And I found, you know, when you start getting deeper into the Hindu religion and the different traditions within the religion, it's fascinating because it's vast. It's been around for so many years. There's so much writing. There's so much thought. And if you start sort of connecting to that and it makes sense to you, then it's your work in Hoodoo can become very transformative as well. So it's not going to be just a spell to bring your lover back. It's going to be that spell, but also through that spell, you're going to have an ecstatic experience with a deity that you connected to. And perhaps you're going to grow larger and you're going to grow smarter, or you're going to understand on a deeper level what is it that you're seeking or what might be the difficulties be, and so forth. So that for me is a beautiful thing. And even though today what I'm practicing the most is Kimbanda, is sort of the love of my life, there are certain elements or certain deities, certain things that I always receive respect. So of course Ganesha, of course Shiva, Kali, and Tara is one of manifestations of Kali, and I put a link to the film that I made in Tara Path. Those are, you know, always in my core. They always walk with me. And at some point, you know, if I'm going to be thinking about something, I'm going to be doing some work, I will start chanting, right? Om Shrim Tarayai Namaha, Om Shrim Tarayai Namaha, Om Shrim Tarayai Namaha. It will just come in, and I'll be like, okay, Ma, thank you. Thank you for blessing me. Mm-hmm. Thank you for telling me that this is the direction where we need to go. So it's beautiful. It's very, very deep, and there it has a lot of layers, and it works, in my opinion, wonderful in hoodoo as well.
I think both of you are speaking to something quite important here, and I think we should take a moment to kind of emphasize it or underline it, if you will, and that is that when you approach this, you have to recognize that there is a culture there, a living culture there, that there is, with its own traditions, with its own historical context, with its own language, with its own symbology, and Devi used the word, its own protocol, right, for doing things. And that's really important to recognize. And there's a difference between working with Hindu deities in the hoodoo tradition, as Devi Spring and as Madam Nadia is talking about it, from people who think that deities are statues or things that you can collect, right? So this is not about you doing work and then going, you know what, I should add a Ganesha to this.
Yeah.
Right? That's a completely different thing that's going on there. That's about appropriation. That's about ownership. Whereas what we're talking about here, and this is like, even though you're both coming at this in very different ways, is that you're both emphasizing a deep connection to spirit, right? And a deep connection and respect for tradition and culture and context. And I think that's very important here because spirit recognizes intent. Spirit recognizes and respects intent, I should say. And so that's a very important part of this. And both of you are encouraging that if people are interested in this, that it does take a little bit of learning, that it's not just, you know, deciding to buy a statue and then add it to your altar.
Yeah.
There's more there. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that statement?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think a lot of people, when they first hear that, you know, I combine the Hindu deities with hoodoo,
right,
like as you said, they think I'm doing like gumball magic where I think, you know, oh, well, you know, Ganesh is a gumball and I want my route, you know, like my roads open. So I'm going to pop over, you know, say some mantras and he's going to do it and hooray. And I never think about him again. And you're right. There is a context there. The Hindu deities I found very eager and willing to welcome relationships with new people. It doesn't necessarily take them months and months, you know, to respond. But it does take, you know, showing them that you're not just there for a gumball, that you are willing to engage in a relationship.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I think that's a great place. Hopefully this encourages you to come back, perhaps, and maybe do a part two, because this is such a really big topic and one that you're very uniquely suited to discuss,
more so than
any of our other AIR members. And there's a lot of interest in the chat room, so we would love to have you come back and talk a little bit more about this, especially because it really helped to dispel some ideas about working with spirit, working with Hindu deities, and pushing away from, or at least pushing against, the kind of gumball, as you called it, approach to this. So this was fantastic. Thank you for such a great topic. And thank you, Madam Nadia, for bringing your important experience here. So that was the end of our discussion panel. It was a really great topic. I know that I learned a lot, enjoyed it quite a bit. But let's have Papa Nuke come in and lead us on as our erstwhile guide to our next section. Oh, have we lost Papa Newt?
I think we may have.
Oh, no. Papa Newt?
There we go. Oh, my goodness.
There we go.
All right. So, Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Reworkout with your host, Conjurman Ali, special co-host Madam Nadia, and this week's special guest, Debbie Spring. We'll be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo form at form.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the form, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, pop in to read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phone and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling in from area code 407 in Florida. This is Jackie. Jackie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show. I see that you're fairly new to listening to the show, and this is your first time on the air, so thank you for allowing us to help you with your case.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. Now, I see that you have not had any readings with Ms. Kat or Conjurman Ali or any other readers on this situation. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you. And Jackie writes, I have been struggling lots of unnecessary conflict and arguing within relationships, which in turn result in them ending. This seems to be an ongoing problem without resolution thus far. Turn back to you, Conjurman Ali.
Sure and sweet. Thank you for that, Papa Newt. We're going to have Madam Nadia do your first reading, stepping in for Miss Kat. Then we'll have Debbie Spring give you another reading, and I will conclude by giving you some root work recommendations. So let's turn this over to Madam Nadia.
Thank you. Hello, Jackie. How are you doing?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thank you so much for allowing us to do this reading for you. And before I begin, let me ask you a couple of questions. One, what is your zodiac sign?
Pisces.
You are Pisces. Okay. And I understood the situation as you've been in multiple relationships, but there are always some sort of conflict arises. And that sort of brings the end of the relationship, correct?
Correct.
So let's formalize a good question here. And you guys, there is a lot of shuffling going on. Please just give me a second here to focus. So let's formulate the question. Is there a question why it's happening, or if it's a spiritual of spiritual nature, what would you like to know about it? What would help you the most?
Why is this happening?
Why is it happening? Okay. So in my hands, I have my Destiny deck, which is a Greek and Turkish deck. So let's pull a few cards and see. Okay, my dear. First and foremost, what I see here is... and I'm going to say the names of the cards. A lot of people are not familiar with them, but we're going to write them in the chat as well. The first card that I have is the Wheel of Ebony Reversed. And the Wheel of Ebony Reversed generally speaks about patterns in life and repetitive situations. So when I see this and the question is like, how come is it coming back? This is something that I would go and look into your astrology and go with somebody that can rectify certain things, because there is some sort of a pattern here, and that's going to be a pattern of karmic nature, let's say, that is repeating itself. And there are astrologers, if I am not mistaken, Deacon Millett is one of them, who are very, very good at rectifying this kind of thing. So this is what the Wheel of Ebony says, and the Wheel of Ebony reversed in this case tells me that there are options. It's not the end of the world, and things can be changed, can be solved, and can be improved. The second card that I have is the Ship reversed, and the Ship reversed is that when it's sort of a situation again that shows us you don't get the goal, you don't get what you want, you know, something goes wrong in the middle. But seeing those two cards reversed, for me, there is some work that needs to be done on your person regarding self-confidence and regarding the choices that you're making and regarding being able to assess the situation before you go into a relationship and be like, well, is this really going to be good for me? Is this really going to be good for me? So that is part of the pattern. But the third card is a very beautiful card. And this is card, this is the swirl of the diamond, or it's the great diamond. And it says that there is a blessing coming. There is a brighter future. There is a relationship that's almost like a jewel that can happen, but you need to do some work. And this is there's definitely spiritual things that I would do here, but I would also look into your astrology, and I would also focus on some self-confidence, self-love work, so you can make this decision before you get into a situation that's not so good for you and say, hey, maybe that person is not really good for me because I already had experience. I already dated this person before. Does that make sense?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for that, Madam Nadia. Let's have Debbie Spring do your second reading, see what insights she can provide you.
Sure. I actually, very different cards, but very similar message to Madam Nadia. The first card that came up for me, and I'm using just the standard Rider-Waite, is the Judgment card, which coming up in the position that it did and looking at the other cards, I very much also felt that there was something larger going on, larger, karmic or astrological patterns that are playing into the situation as it stands. So I absolutely agree with Madam Nadia in having, a really good astrologer look into things for you. The next card that came up is the Nine of Wands, and this shows a person standing with all these staffs behind them, and they're holding one as well, and they look kind of beat up. There's a bandage on their head. It's someone that's been through a lot of battles in the past, and they're trying to take a break and sort of get away from it, but they're also just expecting another fight at any moment. So I feel like while there are some sort of like larger astrological patterns or something playing into it, to a certain extent, you have also a little bit turned into a self-fulfilling prophecy by being you've sustained damage in the fight in the past, and it's made you feel very defensive and on the lookout for the next fight. And so your own defensive patterns may be in an attempt to, shield you from more pain may actually be playing into the pattern now as a whole. But as I was shuffling, I had two cards jump out at me, so I'm reading both of them together as sort of the result here. And they're both good. They talk about moving forward in the future. The first card is the Six of Swords, which shows someone on a boat. They also look very weary and tired, and they're rowing towards better land. They're coming from where something just unpleasant has happened. The situation is no longer tenable, and they've accepted that, and they're moving towards a better future. So I do see this as you being able to figure out what's going on and moving forward. You're going to feel a little beat up for a while. There's definitely going to be some healing work, and as Madam Nadia said, self-love and confidence work. But the other card that came up with it was the Three of Wands. And so this is someone that has had a plan, they put it into action, and then they're just waiting for, things to turn around, and they will. But it does indicate a bit of a wait. So things will turn around for you. You'll definitely be able to get this figured out. It just may take a little longer than you'd like, but you will get a handle on this and get through to better, greener pastures.
Okay, thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Thank you both. I think you've gotten some wonderful readings here. And they both are hitting on something quite important. I think the broader pattern is essential for you to address, and an astrological reading is something that can help you do that. So I'm going to echo what they said. But I think what Debbie said in regards to it becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy is very, very important. Now, these type of patterns that happen, right, whether they're astrological, whether they're ancestral curses, whether whatever you want to call them, right, with any of these patterns that happen, in some regards, we have to recognize that we are participants in them, right, that they may impel, but they do not compel, right? And that's very key, because it takes two to fight. If you're having arguments and misunderstanding, you play a role in that. So I'm going to give you some recommendations to help reset things on your end. First, I want you to start with a bath. A bath is really good for cooling things off, for saying, you know what, things have gotten heated, let's cleanse and let's cool off. Get yourself some basil, some sage, some Florida water, and some rue. Now, if you can't get your hands on Florida water, coconut water will also help in this regard. Both of them have very similar cooling effects and are great additions to the bath. You're going to take the basil, bay, sage, and rue, and you're going to brew them into a tea. You're going to put them in some hot water, boil them up. Let that cool a little bit. You don't want it to be boiling hot, and then add your Florida water. Florida water will turn this mixture kind of milky, a little foggy. It's a nice, nice scent. You can also add a little bit of coconut water if you don't have that. Florida water will do the same exact thing. You're going to take this mixture, and you are going to bathe in it. Stand in your bathtub and pour this over yourself and wash with your hands downwards. Make sure that you put a stopper in your bathtub as you do this. Bathe and pray that all confusion, or anger, or heat be completely driven from your body and that you are granted serenity, peace, and a cool mind. Now, you're going to let yourself air dry, gather a bit of the used bath water, and dispose of it in some form of running water, a river or a creek of some sort. And you're going to pour it out and walk away without looking back. We want you to repeat this for 3 days. You're going to repeat this bath, continue to make the mixture, bathe in it, air dry, dispose of the used bath water in a creek or a river. And this is great for resetting the pattern, for saying I'm done and breaking it, right? Starting fresh. You are then going to come home and get yourself some peace water, and you're going to sprinkle that around your home, particularly in the kitchen area and in the bedroom. Now, if you don't have peace water, you can also use sachet powders instead. Use some type of home blessing, peaceful home will work as well, and you can sprinkle and rub that into the carpet. Now, I want you to get a fresh basil plant. This is something that you're going to keep going. This is the third leg of this, and this is going to be very important for ensuring that you don't go back that pattern. You've done this bathing work. You've done this cleansing work. You said, I'm going to start fresh. Now you need something that will ensure peace remains in your house. You've won the peace. Now you must keep the peace. And this is what the basil plant will do. If there's a particular somebody in your life already, you can write their name down as well. If not, write your name down 3 times on a piece of paper with your birthday. Okay? If you have someone, include their name as well. You are then going to, it should be a small piece of paper, not a big old sheet. You're going to take a sugar cube, place it in the center of that paper, and fold the paper around it, making a small packet with the sugar cube. You can fold it to make a little paper ball or paper cube. You're going to bury that in your basil plant pot. You're going to bury it deep. You're going to pray over the basil that so long as it lives, it will keep peace in your home and keep out evil and strife. And you will water the basil and tend to the basil. You will cut off leaves that are dying. You will give it water once a week. You will put it in some indirect sunlight. Make sure that you pray when you do feed it and you do work it. You can pray over it. You can ask for its aid. But you keep that basil plant. That basil plant will also work as an early warning sign. When things are starting to get rough, you may see that it will wilt or one of the leaves will turn brown. that lets you know that you may be falling into the same pattern. Prune it, take that brown leaf off, pray over it, give it a little bit of water, and that will help to restore the peace. Or you can start to do preventive measures like laying out peace water or laying out sachet powders. But it is important to keep that basil alive. Should the basil ever die, that means you need to start all over again. Do your bath once more, get a new basil, bury with the paper with the sugar cube in the bottom of it. That's what I want you to do. It's a really good working sport. It works with the living plant, the spirit of that plant, to break this pattern and to bring peace and serenity into your home, to ensure that your relationships do not fall into the same toxic pattern. It's really easy to do, but it does take a little bit of commitment. You have to commit to breaking that pattern, right? To not falling. The thing about patterns is, we do become self-fulfilling, like Debbie pointed out. You will continue to kind of do it without even realizing you're doing it. This is similar to how addictions work. And in many ways, patterns and addictions have a lot of similarities, that we tend to build a certain chemical dependence on arguing, on fighting, on anger, on wrath, on sadness, etc. So it is important that you commit to it. So as you commit to keeping the plant, you are committing to keeping the peace in your home. So that's my recommendation. We have a few minutes left. We're going to see if Madam Nadia and Debbie Spring have anything further to add, any alterations to this work, or any specific recommendations that they would give based off of the readings that they provided. So let's open up the floor a little bit here. Madam Nadia, Debbie.
Sorry. Go ahead, Madam Nadia.
Okay. So I think your spell, your recommendation is brilliant, Ali. And there's one thing that I sort of saw in my mind's eye that I wanted to add. And when the petition paper for the plant was the date of birth, I would also add to that a dime with your birth year on it. And if there are other people involved as well, get their dime with their birth year. And what I want you to do is that I want you to put that dime or those dimes in like a little bowl with honey. With milk. And I want you to put it under a full moon. And I want you to pray over it. And I want you to pray something along the line. Is the full moon always shines? The full moon is always beautiful. As the full moon always comes back to its fullness, so will I always recover. So will I feel confident, and so I will bring success to myself. Something along those lines, and then add that to that petition paper and bury that with your plant.
That's great, Debbie.
Yeah, I love the whole, keeping the basil plant alive in the Vaishnav tradition that I'm an initiate of. Keeping a holy basil plant is very often a practice. So I love that. Very much spoke to me. I just have one little thing to add, because everything that's been said is already amazing. If you want a little something to carry in your purse to help you if you ever start feeling just like irritated or whatever, you just need some extra peace, if you do have that Florida water on hand, you can put a little bit of it into a little spritz bottle and just keep it in your purse. And just, when you need a little pick-me-up, you can just spritz that onto you, just, like you need a refresh like you would with any other body spray. Or if for whatever reason you can't get Florida water tranquility, like bath crystals, if you dissolve them and then strain the plant matter out, you could put that in a spritz bottle and just keep it in your purse with you and keep it wherever you are. So whatever you need, just, to take a step back and to breathe and get a little extra peace and emotional space, it's a really easy thing to do. You can do it in the middle of everywhere and no one will think anything of it. And it's just a little extra something you can hopefully help you.
Oh, that's
Thank
fantastic.
You so much.
Both of those are great, great additions. And I think they'd work really well with what I recommended. Thank you for trusting us with your situation. I know it's a very difficult moment for you and time period, but the cards were hopeful. You will get through this. Make sure you get your astrological reading. Make sure you follow our instructions. and know that there is a something brighter ahead of you. So thank you for calling in.
Thank you all.
We're going to have Papa Newt jump in and guide us forward.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next caller. Our next caller is going to be calling in from area code 586 in southeast Michigan. And I am sorry, I just missed her. Okay, here she is. This is going to be Stephanie. Stephanie, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hello, Stephanie. Welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in. Thank you for allowing us to help you with your situation today. And I do see that you also have not had any readings with Ms. Kat, Contraband Ali, or anybody else on this particular situation. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Thank you. And Stephanie writes, I just found out that my mother will need to have shoulder surgery because of arthritis and bone deterioration. Because of this, we will have to help her and I must ask my boss if I can work from home and at least part of the week, and if not, I must take family and medical leave to help her. I'm worried that doing either of these will not sit well with my boss or her boss, especially since I am still new to the company. I would like to know if my job is at risk and what I can do to help the situation. Turn it back to you, Conjurman Ali.
Thank you for the Papa Newt. I'm going to ask a couple of questions before I give you your reading. Terry Spring will follow up by adding further insights with her own reading. And then Madam Nadia will give you some root work recommendations. Now, what is your sign of the zodiac, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm a Taurus.
You're a Taurus, okay. And what is your mother's sign of the zodiac?
Oh, I don't know. January 3rd?
January 3rd. Okay, so she's a Capricorn. Okay, and you said she was having hip surgery, shoulder surgery. What surgery was it? Shoulder. And when did you start your new job? How long have you been there?
Just a little over a year ago.
Just a little over a year ago. Okay, so I have a few cards here that I'm going to read for you. Now, as I was shuffling, interestingly, two cards jumped out. Now, for those who have listened to the radio show before, they know that I usually take those cards into consideration in my reading. Now, the first card that jumped out was the Ace of Swords. The Ace of Swords is usually the card that does represent surgery. So when we ask about health questions, it means some type of actual physical surgery. So that's important there. It is also a card of sacrifice, of doing what it needs to be done, of being victorious in the end, but at cost. So that's important. And second, Hierophant card came out. And the Hierophant card is the card of starting something new or being part of a new institution. So your newness, we'll say, in your position does play a role here. So here are the three cards that I have. The very first card is the Nine of Wands. The Nine of Wands, it really sets the stage for everything. It's a person who's leaning on a staff. They've just beaten through a wall of staffs and they're resting with a bandage on their head looking behind them. This tells me that this period of time that you're entering, in which you're trying to do right by your mother, in which you're trying to do the right thing, you're, you know, a good, nurturing, strong Taurus, trying to help someone out while still finding the chance to work right, that's very important here for you, that this is going to be very trying. This is a burden and a situation that is going to add to your stress, to your life, that you can be victorious, that you can succeed in the long run, in the long term, that you can look back and go, okay, I did it, I'm in the clear, but that in the process, you may end up stressing yourself out, getting a little bit rough in your life, that the Nine of Wands tells us that the path that you are starting down on is not one that is going to be resolved easily, and you may not get all that you desire in it. But in the end, in the long term, you will be successful here. The key component is the Emperor, and the Emperor is our next card. The Emperor is a stern man, and this is a person who rules over his kingdom with an iron fist. He is austere and stern, sitting on a throne of stone, and this is a person who's wearing armor underneath his lavish robes. And this tells us that it's a person who they themselves have worked hard to get to where they are, and they've worked from the bottom all the way to the top. And it is usually a card that represents bosses and works and employment. And more often than not, when I see this type of card, it doesn't tell me that you're looking for a friendly, wonderful, nurturing environment. It tells me that you're looking for something more corporate-like, or it tells me that you're looking in an environment in which the rules are very important, in which the protocol is very important. And so you are going to struggle a little bit with this employer or with this boss, because they're not going to be overly accommodating. You are going to need to soften them to you. You're going to need to do work to influence, soften, and convince them of your need, because their first inclination is to uphold their standards, their laws, their protocols, more so than it is your need. Now, this may be associated with the Hierophant that jumped out, telling us that because you are relatively new to this profession or this job, that they are not ready to go, okay, go ahead, you can start working some of the days from home. They're not quite there yet. That doesn't mean they're evil or cruel or that they're trying to hurt you, but rather that they have a way of doing things and they're not ready to bend in regards to that. And then the final card that we have here is the Nine of Swords. The Nine of Swords is confirming the Nine of Wands. And so you have the Nines bookending your reading, and it tells us that the path forward is stressful, that lack of sleep is something that you're going to deal with, that worry and anxiety is something that is going to be quite prominent going forward, worry about your job, about being able to take care of your mother, that these are not irrational fears, but very rational fears that keep you up at night. And they do tell us that it's not going to be an accommodating time period. You may not get what you want in regards to being able to work from home. However, with help, you could turn the situation and make it malleable enough that you're able to take family leave, that you're able to get something out of this. And I see this with the final card, which is my outcome card, and that is the Nine of Wands. The Nine of Wands is a helper. This tells me that you need to work with a root worker. You need to work with someone, not necessarily to do root work if you're confident to do it on your own, but to give you advice at the very least, who will champion you spiritually, who will be your knight fighting your case for you. And that's very important. So part of the root work recommendation Matt and Nadia will give you, you should walk away going, okay, I will do what she says, but I also need to look to hire a professional to assist me. And that professional will help to alleviate some of the stress and difficulty and also help you win some victory in regards to this. Just understand that it's not going to be you getting what you want entirely, that it is going to come at a cost, that it is going to be difficult. It's not going to be everything that you hope for, but that in the end, you will still be successful at some cost. That's what I see with my reading. We're going to see if Debbie Spring can add any further insights, and then we are going to get some work from Madam Nadia.
Sure. So once again, the cards are saying something very similar in a different way. The first card that I pulled was the Queen of Swords, and I see this representing you. So this is a woman that's sitting very firmly on her throne. She holds the sword up. She knows her business, and you know, she's ready to make sure that other people abide by her perceptions and her analysis. And in this situation, I would say that this is showing you to be really firm on knowing your legal rights that you have in this situation. And just recently, I had to look up information on the family and medical leave for someone else. And I believe, I could be wrong, so please look it up and confirm for yourself, but after you're with a company for 8 months or a year, then you are entitled to the leave. So look up all that information, and, you know, if you need to, you know, consult with someone who knows sort of, you know, labor laws in your area, do so. Know exactly what you're entitled to, because I believe if you've been with this company over a year, you should be entitled to get some sort of medical leave. But, yes, the
yeah,
company
that's
is not going
to. Yeah, that's not in question. I know that I can get it. It's just that our company doesn't exactly like that, and it could affect me in the future. They might try to keep me from getting a promotion or try to find a way to fire me.
Yeah, they're going to try to make you feel hemmed in, and that's what the next card is saying, which is the Eight of Swords. So this is a woman that's bound up and blindfolded and surrounded on three sides by swords all around her. So the company is going to try to make you feel trapped and helpless, like you have to bend to their wishes in order to, you know, keep your job or whatever. But the fact of the matter of this is the lady in this card, she actually, if she just saw the situation clearly, she could walk forward and straight out of that trap. So it's not an easy situation, just as Conjure Man Ali said, but there is maneuver room here, and they're not going to make it pleasant for you. They're going to try to make it as unpleasant as possible, but there is wiggle room here. And there's two cards that I paired together, the Knight of Wands with the Chariot. And I see that Knight card talking about what Conjure Man Ali was, with having someone there to help you, to help, you know, keep your energy and your spirits up, and to help collaborate with you on the best way forward. And that Chariot driver is about harnessing, you know, two forces, two opposing forces. And that could be talking to you doing all the stressful things of balancing, you know, the caretaking for your mother on top of what's going on with the career. But in any case, like, these are figures of aid and figures of success ultimately. Although, again, it's talking with the Chariot, especially, it's talking about this is going to take a lot of dedicated work in order to get the success. But then overall, even though it's going to be unpleasant and it might not work out ideally exactly how you like, I also have the long-term outcome card as the Star, which is a card of, you know, hope and faith and restoration of, you know, all good things after a long sort of like trail getting there. So again, I think you are going to be okay in the end, but they are going to try to make things stressful and difficult for you, but there will be some wiggle room, and you should be able to end up working out something that will at least speak somewhat to the needs without completely sacrificing everything.
Thank you for that reading, Devi. It was a great one. And I think ours very much align in regards to that. Let's see if we can get Madame Nadia to come in and work her magic, pun intended, and give some root work advice on what can be done in this situation.
Hi, Stephanie. I am wondering, how much time do you have to do that spiritual work before your mother actually gets the surgery, or has she gotten the surgery already?
She doesn't know when it's going to be yet, but it is going to be pretty soon.
Okay, so you have time to start working the situation even before she actually went to surgery. This is awesome. Now, there are a couple of things that I see here that speak to me and I think are going to be useful to you. So one thing that I want you to do is that I want you to go and I want you to collect dust or dirt from around the place where you work, from the four corners. Okay, you're going to come home, you're going to lay whatever you collected on like a little saucer, offer a candle to it, put some water for it, even whiskey, and talk to it. Ask, we are invoking here the spirit of the place. And I did that before in a place that I had difficulties where I'm working, and it was very, very helpful. So you invoke the spirit of the place. You honor it with the offerings, and you say, spirit of the place, I need your help. I need to stay working here. I need to stay working here per my conditions. When the candle is done, you can spill the water on the premises, but keep that earth because we're going to be working with it. The other thing that you will need to get is a purple, if possible, purple skull candle. That skull candle is going to represent your boss or the person that's going to make the ultimate decision who needs to be influenced. You can use for that a copy of a of tarot card, the Emperor, because it showed up for that. You can photocopy that or download it from online, and you can write a petition paper on it. Another thing, of course, is that you're going to get some, you can get some business cards from that person, even personal concerns if you can. Okay, so whether you have a business card.
I have
card,
a question.
Yes.
They don't really give out business cards as often, but would an email signature work?
You can, whatever you can get, if it's an actual signature, that's better. If it's the hair of the person, like go with some duct tape and pick it up from their chair, that's better. But if all you can do is email signature, go for it, you know? So get that. Use that signature as a petition paper. And we had the number 9 repeating here in Ali's reading. So what you're going to do is that you're going to write your boss's name 9 times, like John Doe, John Doe, John Doe. You're going to turn over the paper and you're going to write your name across it 9 times. So you create a state of control. You're controlling the situation. And the spell you're going to be doing for 9 days, you're going to take yourself a skull candle. You're going to baptize it in the name of the person, right? So it's becoming the person. You're going to make a little hole in the bottom of that candle, and you're going to put a little bit of licorice powder, a little bit of angelica powder, and I want you to get some boss fix oil, boss fix salt, and influence oil, okay? So you're going to put that candle on a tray on somewhere where it can burn. Because we're going to be burning it for 9 days. In the corners of the tray, the 4 corners, you're going to put a pinch of that earth that you got from the premises. You also can potentially put a little bit of the bath salt of Boss Fix. You're also going to massage Boss Fix oil and influence oil onto that candle, and you're going to talk to it. And you're going to start talking. John Doe, I know you're a good man. I know you understand family. I know you understand family relations. You are going to help me. You're going to understand my situation. You're going to let me work from home because this is what my mother needs, and so forth. And you're going to light a candle, and you're going to burn it for let's say, an hour the first day, and you're going to snuff it off, like don't blow on it, and then you're going to do the same thing the next day and the same thing the next day. Until on the 9th day, you want it all to be burned down. In the end of it, and I forgot to tell you, you have that petition paper. What I want you to do with this petition paper is that I want you to have it in your shoe during the day. When you're at work, you're going to put it in your shoe, you're going to walk over it. When you're at home, you're going to put it under that candle until the last day. In the last day, let it all either burn together or the wax going to be over it. It doesn't matter. When the spell is done, you're going to put all that stuff neatly together, and you're going to bury it in the back of the property. We bury stuff in the back of the property to keep things, and you want to keep that job. Another thing that I want you to do is that I want you to melt those boss fix salts and put it in a spray bottle. And as you walk around the office with your little paper in your shoe, spray that a little bit. If people ask you, you know, if you can spray only in your area, spray only in your area. If you can spray where the boss is, spray where the boss is. If you can spray on his chair, on his desk,
do
that.
We actually have a policy against that, but would the powder work, sprinkling the powder on the floor?
The powder would work beautifully, especially if you can deploy it somewhere where he's going to be walking. Absolutely. Girl,
I can do
you're
that.
On it. You know the business. You know the business. You're going to be just fine. These are the things that I want you to do. Of course, you can add, you know, a sweetener jar. You can try to sweeten them all up to you. Absolutely. But you need to start influencing this guy, and you need to start influencing him now. And my feeling here is that this is not a bad dude. This is not somebody who's just going to say, no, I'm not going to let you do it because I'm an asshole. It's like Ali said, it's somebody who likes to go by the book, and by the book, people don't work from home or something like that. And you need to start working him already to get him in your corner, to bring that understanding to him. Anyway, this is all she wrote.
That's a great recommendation.
Thank you,
Madam Nadia. I think you are in good hands in regards to root work, so follow that advice. The only thing I would add real briefly is, in a good way of working, especially a boss, is to take grains of paradise, guinea peppers, and chew them while you're at work. They're really small, and then very covertly, very secretly, and very discreetly spit them out where you people will walk over them, and that's a way of making your prayers influence them. So pray as you're chewing, and then spit it discreetly out. Just be very careful. Grains of paradise is kind of small and they stick to teeth. But that's really a good way of working as well. And you're in good hands with Madam Nadia's recommendation, which was excellent. Thank you for calling in. We're going to take a quick break for some announcements and then on to our final segment, which is the free spell.
The LMC Radio Excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hooter Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Contraman Ollie, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Kendallo's Corner with Candelo Canvisa, Michael Carell, and Lady A, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand and Paige Sapiriu, Wednesdays 3 to 4:30. Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Adanya, Wednesdays 6 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And now it's time for a free spell segment with Debbie Spring of QueenofPentacleConjure.com in Ontario, Canada. Take it away, Debbie.
Yes, thank you. So today's free spell is going to be working with the Hindu goddess Durga. And this spell is to help increase your confidence and self-esteem. Durga, in her mythology, slays a lot of demons. And two of the big ones that she slays, if you translate their names into a phrase, their names are too much and too little. And often in our lives, what is making us feel less than or like we don't have enough, or is this sense of we don't have enough or we have too much of something, right? We're too heavy or we're too poor. So this sense within ourselves of battling our inner demons, and Durga is very strong for helping us get out of those negative patterns of dissatisfaction and unhappiness. So for this work, you're going to take a picture of Durga. You can print one from the internet, or I think Lucky Mojo sells them as well. You're going to want a red jumbo candle, a couple of tea lights, some incense. Lucky Mojo has a Durga incense, or you can use a sandalwood or a sandal rose. You'll want some sort of prayer beads, 108 beads in total. That's the normal sort of Buddhist or Hindu prayer mala. A red flannel square, and then you're going to want some Durga oil and incense, as I mentioned. Or if you wanted to, you could work with John the Conqueror oil or commanding oil as well. So you're going to get some courage and positivity herbs as well. So rose for healing and self-love, yarrow for courage, mint to banish negative thoughts, bay for success and protection, and Solomon seal for wisdom. And I added a little piece of tiger's eye crystal. This is a good stone for protection. It has lots of solar attributes of confidence and success. And also Durga rides on a tiger, so it's especially apt. So you're going to print also or draw, if you're very crafty, a Durga yantra, which is a geometric symbol. And if you Google it, you'll find that very easily. On the back of that, you're going to write your petition and cover it with your name 7 times on top. And you're going to dress that paper in a 5-spot pattern with your oil. You're going to dress the candle in that oil as well, as along with some of the herb mixture. And then you're going to hold that dressed candle near your mouth so the breath of your prayer will fall onto that wax. Pray your petition strongly and also chant the mantra, Om I'm Cream Cleem, until that candle feels full of energy. And Papa Newt will put these mantras in the room for you. Then you're going to place your petition paper in the center of a plate, put the candle on top of that, and sprinkle the rest of the herbs in a clockwise direction around it. Put a dab of the oil on the tiger's eye and place it at the foot of the candle. Every day you're going to offer a tea light, a small glass of water, some incense, and a small piece of red fruit. You're going to acknowledge Ganesha first and ask him to open the way for you to communicate with Durga. You can do that simply by chanting Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha once. Then speak your prayers from the heart and pray your petition to Durga. Light that dressed red candle and chant Om Aim Krim Klim Chamundaye Viche Namaha 108 times. Or if that's too much, you can break it into 2 or 4 sessions during the day. Do that every day until the candle is finished. Take any remaining candle wax, the petition paper, the herbs, the crystal, and put it into that red flannel square. And chant that Durga mantra into the bag as you concentrate on your petition and asking her to continue to aid and guide you and asking the spirit of the herbs and the curios to work together with her for your petition. Then tie it shut and carry it and care for it as you would for any other mojo. So after that point, continue to do that mini puja and chant the Durga mantra daily until you've done so for 40 days total, which is a very traditional amount of days to work with a mantra in the Hindu tradition. And if you want to, you can take that mojo and put it in front of the picture of Durga every day when you do that small puja, and also make sure to feed that mojo. And you should find that over the course of the 40 days, your outlook about things is really going to have shifted into one where you're finding it a lot easier to feel confident and more positive about things are. You're not going to be worrying as much about those demons of too much and too little. It's very traditional that you can assess how far you've come after that 40 days. And if you still feel that there's more work to do, you can take a break for a week and then do it all over again for another 40. But I think you would be very surprised at how much progress you actually make in that amount of time.
That is a beautiful, beautiful working. Will this be made available on your blog or somewhere where people can see the instructions in addition to listening to the archive?
I absolutely can put that up somewhere. It's one that I've given to a lot of clients over the years, and I can certainly post that on my blog as soon as we're done with the show here so that people would be able to access that as well if they're not reading the archived chat room transcript.
Yeah, so this is an opportunity to check out Debbie Spring's blog, which I gave a shout-out at the beginning. It's a really great blog. You don't want to miss out on it. And if the instructions are there, I think that's a great place where you can
I'll put it up on the article section of my main website as well, thequeenofpentaclesconjure.com, so you'll be able to sort of see everything there. And if people are sort of interested in learning more to work with the Hindu deities in conjure, I am going to be having an online class in East-West Prosperity Conjure that's going to be coming up in August. And if you visit the website, you can click over to the online classes section and read more about that and register for it if you like.
Oh, wonderful. When will the class be held?
It's going to be online. It's going to be mostly email-based, and it's going to be launching in mid-August. I haven't set the exact date then, but it will be mid-August that it launches. And people that pre-register are actually – there's a really good discount right now too. And it'll be 5 lessons that are given over 10 weeks. So that in between each of the lessons, which like they're jam-packed with information and cultural background information and recipes and workings and everything else, they'll have questions that they can video. I can video questions and answers with them as well. So.
Oh, wonderful. That sounds like
an amazing experience
and opportunity. So we do recommend you check that out. You can find it on Debbie Spring's website. And she's very kindly offered to also put the free spell up on there. So you can get both the class and the free spell when you go and check that out. Thank you very much for that working, Debbie. We're going to have Papa Newt conclude, and then we're going to come back and say goodbye.
Well, thank you, Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Madam Nadia, for being our special co-host. And thank you, Debbie Springs of Queen of Pentacles Conjure.com in Ontario, Canada, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rubricers will be Papa G of WhiteMojo.com in Nashville, Tennessee, bringing us the topic, Using Special Dirts and Dusts. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Conjure Man Ali at theconjureman.com in Mission Viejo, California, and Madam Nadia at madamnadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. I'm your announcer, Papa News. Join me for papanews.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thanks, Papa Newt. Couldn't do the show without you and all the work that you do behind the scenes. A special thank you to wonderful guest co-host, Madam Nadia. You're always so fun to have on and co-host this with. And thank you, Debbie Spring, for joining us. You were an amazing guest with such a great topic. I do hope you come back again and we have further discussions. That's
yes,
all for
I
this,
will.
Oh, wonderful. That's all for us here. Thank you all. In the chat, who participated, who carry on the discussion, and to all of our wonderful callers and listeners. Have a great week, and good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.